We are honoring in this house not only of our own pastors, but also other people that we bring in. So I want you guys to honor with me and stand to your feet and welcome Cody Lehman, Pastor Cody Lehman from Bull Verde Church of the Hills.
Pathway, it's so good to be in the house. Stay on your feet for just a second. And I'm going to get to the scripture, but before I do, I just want to honor you guys. We are church planters in the San Antonio area, just north of San Antonio, the first little city. And you guys may not know this, but you are a big part of our story. You guys actually support us. You guys are sending us checks in the mail. So thank you so very much when we're church planting. And I just want to give you a good report. God is doing amazing things in the Hill Country, and man, we're seeing people come to Jesus, and your giving is bringing souls to Jesus in the Hill Country. So thank you. So I, on behalf of our family and Church of the Hills family that's meeting this morning, thank you for just being such an incredible church. And so you guys are our home away from home. I've been able to grace the pulpit a couple times, and so it's always an honor. And I just want to just brag on your pastor for a second, because your pastor is my pastor, and he's been such a resource and such a man of wisdom. And if you're looking for a church to plug into, this is the one. I'm just going to tell you right now. And the staff, Pastor Mark, J-Dub, and Kayla, all of the team, man, just this is an exceptional church. And so I just honor you guys. Would you give it up for your church leadership today? Man, you guys have incredible, incredible pastors. And, you know, I know a lot of you guys are watching from afar, but, you know, where we're at is on the edge, right on the edge of where the floods have happened. And so these floods, man, I've never seen anything like it. I'm a Kansas boy, so I've worked tornadoes, but I've just not seen this before. And so thank you guys for praying, and thank you for contributing however you were able to. In fact, I was out working, running an excavator. We've been boots on the ground out in Kerrville in the Hill Country, just helping clear through debris piles. And I was running an excavator, and a guy from Longview actually got put on my team. So it was somebody all the way from Longview, and I'm trying to get him to come to church here. Come on, somebody. I've got his number, and I'm working on him, and I'm going to give him the J-Dub, and J-Dub's going to hound him until he shows up. But thank you guys for real. It means the world just to see the way, I'm going to be honest with you, I love Texas, because the way Texas has rallied and responded, and I'm just telling you, man, like, it's just incredible. Within a couple days, they were like, stop sending water, stop sending food. We've got everything. I mean, anybody with a grill was lined up on the road. And like, if you were hungry, man, you had all the food you needed. And it was just incredible. Now there's more excavators and skid steers than you can shake a stick at. There's more equipment than operators right now. And so it's just really been in a very dark situation just to see the way Texas rallied and just been part of that. In fact, churches all around the country have supported our church in our efforts to be out there. We've been out there about, within the first 14 days, we've had somebody there, at least 11, maybe 12 of the first 14 days of response. And so thank you guys for just continuing to pray. And just want to let you know kind of a report about what's going on out there. But since you're on your feet, are you ready to get into the word today? Okay. So while you're on your feet, let's go to 1 Kings 18, 21 through 24. This is an incredible story in the word of God. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, sometimes we say this as preachers, like, God gave me a word for you, but God really did give me a word for Pathway today. I feel like a pop bottle right now. Somebody has shook up, man. We just need to let that thing loose for a second. Come on, just take the lid off, because I'm pretty stirred up this morning, and I'm kind of an energetic preacher anyway. So we're gonna have some fun today. Are you ready? Amen. Come on, praise God. Let me get my timer started. I know they got one back there for me, but I'm gonna hit my time today. Amen. Maybe. 1 Kings 18, this is second service. We got nowhere else to be. I don't got to make room for another service. Huh, Pastor Mark? We can do what we want now. 9 a.m. was, I'll just tell you right now, 9 a.m. was rowdy, but I did hear the 10:45 was even more so. So I'll just be honest with you. We had a move of God in the 9, but they told me, said, just get ready for the 10:45. So they set the bar high. Amen. All right. 1 Kings 18, 21 through 24. If you're watching online, I expect you to be rowdy with me too. Come on, I see the green one. Come on. Amen. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? Come on, somebody say, how long will you falter? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You see, the nation of Israel had accepted, they hadn't rejected God, but they had also accepted Baal along with him, another false god. And so they were trying to worship both. And Elijah, the great man of God, came and called him on it. You ever have God call you on something? But the people answered him not a word. Come on, they didn't even have an answer for him. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Watch, he throws the gauntlet down. He says, therefore, let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, and I will put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Whew. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people thought it was a good idea. Verse 30. There's a little bit of a gap here. And the Bible says that the prophets of Baal were doing their thing and nothing happened. Then Elijah said, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Somebody say repaired the altar. Come on, and when he put his sacrifice on, the Bible says in verse 38 that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Come on, somebody, the fire of God fell. Come on the altar. Today, I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes from the subject line of Before the Flame. If you're writing down a title for the message, it's just Before the Flame. And I want to tell you ahead of time where we're headed at the end. I'm going to preach for just a couple minutes, and then we're coming to the altars today because I believe that God is repairing altars in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray and we can be seated in the presence of God. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your spirit. Today I pray that you would take your perfect word through my imperfect mouth to imperfect hearts, but accomplish your perfect work in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you, and we're looking for you today in Jesus' mighty name. Can you give God a shout of praise in this place today in Jesus' name? Come on, high five somebody if you're ready to see God and be seated in the presence of God. Come on. Did I ever tell you about the time that I started a forest fire in Arkansas? Yeah, so when I was in Bible college, I went to Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had a buddy that had some land just a couple hours over into Arkansas. Beautiful Arkansas, right? Beautiful trees, and you ever spent some time, we're close to Arkansas here, right? Like, I'm not sure how far east I am, but I know I'm close to Arkansas somewhere. We went out, and we were doing some fish gigging. Anybody ever been fish gigging where you got the boat and the platform, the lights that shine down, and you got this, they gave me a trident, like on a 10-foot pole, y'all. Come on, somebody. That's like every 20-year-old man's dream right there, you know? Like, and so we went out and we were fish gigging, having a good time. And we did that at night. And then we woke up the next morning. We're staying in this RV that was out on this buddy's land that was kind of parked there permanently. And we got up in the morning, you know, we're just 20-year-old men and we young men. And, you know, our brains aren't completely solidified yet. And what happened was we got up in the morning and we made breakfast. We started a fire and we put, you know, some, instead of rocks around the fire, we put logs. So what happened was is we were like, you know, we put out the fire. We made our coffee, J-Dub. We made our coffee. We made our breakfast. And we went out and we went out to this side of the hill and down by the river. And we were just goofing off. You know, we were just goofing off. We're climbing the hills, running down it. Like, I'm falling down it, shooting guns, just goofing off for hours. And finally, we're ready for lunch. And so we jump back in the truck and we start our way back up the hill and back towards the camp. And as we get pretty close to the camp, all of a sudden, we start seeing everything is charred and black. And we're like, wait, that wasn't like that. But, you know, we're 20 years old and our brains aren't solidified yet, so we don't really understand what's happening. We're like, what's going on? You know, like, was it like this? I don't remember. Was it like this when we drove down? I don't know. Was it? Right? But as we kept driving up, we started to see when we pulled up on the camp, our camper was gone. And everything around us was on fire. Around us and all in a full circle. But so you know how it is. The first thing that we decided to do was like, we can put this out. So we jumped out and we started stomping the fire. You know, you do that. And then very quickly we realized this is way out of hand already. way out of hand. And so we end up having to call in the forestry service, and they bring their bulldozer. You ever seen those things? And they draw a line, and we finally get it stopped, but not before we burnt down 80 acres, y'all. Come on, somebody. I still get hate mail from Smokey the Bear. Like, he still, when he sees me, he turns his back on me. Like, he never has given me a high five. But here's what happened. Whenever we looked at this, how did this happen? Because we were like, we looked at each other, the three of us, we looked at each other like, we put that fire out. Like, I know we put that fire out. Like, we doused that fire. But like I told you, whenever we made our fire, we couldn't find the rocks. So we said, let's use logs. Come on. Big brains up here, you know? Let's use logs. And so here's what happened. Although we put the fire out, one of these logs was close enough to the fire that it had a fire and it was coaling on the inside. And at some point while we left, even though I couldn't see that it was on fire, at some point after we left, it actually went ahead and combusted. And that fire on the inside started a fire on the outside that changed the whole landscape. And why am I telling you that? Because I believe that God wants to send his flame, and he wants to send the fire of God to get on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. The fire of God inside of you that begins to combust on the outside and change everything around you. I want to let you know today that it only takes a little fire on the inside to begin to change things around us. Come on, somebody. If I just had a few people who would get a hold of the fire of God, we would see a summer revival. We would see a fall revival. Come on, somebody. I believe that God is doing something in Longview. I believe that he's trying to send revival. I believe he's bringing a refreshing. Come on, church. Listen, but we need some folks who will get into the fire and will get on fire for the presence of God. Listen, and this is this story of Elijah in the fact that he was trying to bring the fire of God, but before the flame would fall, he had to address two things. And I got 2 points today. He had to address two things. The first point is this. He had to fix the falter. The Bible says the children of Israel, the people of God, were wavering between two opinions. That's what that word falter means, is they were trying to worship God, but they also wanted to hang on to Baal. Come on, somebody. I know nobody in here is like that. That must be the 9 o'clock service where we want God, but we still want our sin. Come on, somebody. We want to come to church, but we still want to shack up. I love you. Come on. Oh, gosh, I must be preaching to my church today. Right? Like, well, this is how we are. Now, listen, there's room for growth and discipleship, but the reality is oftentimes we want to hang on to both worlds. We want to punch our ticket to heaven, but, you know, we don't truly want to repent. Come on, we want God's plan for our lives, but we don't want the life change that comes with it. Come on, so this word faltering means is that we're undecided, we're hesitant. Come on, kind of like choosing lunch today. Am I going to Papa Cita's or Texas Roadhouse? You know, like, I don't know. I want them both. Come on, somebody. Can I go get some chips and salsa and that steak? Come on, somebody. And we falter. Listen, and sometimes in our worship we can be just like this, because this is who the nation of Israel was. This is how they found themselves. They found themselves as God's people, and they hadn't rejected God, but they had also, come on, somebody. They had also, come on, they had also brought in a form of worship that was an idol worship. And I just want to tell you something like this. We can't be those who are caught between, because when we're caught in between, it means that we haven't made up our mind yet. And let's just be real. Sometimes we do get caught in between. Like, I'm in on Sunday, but the boys called me Friday. Come on, somebody. I'm in on heaven, but not the holiness. Woo. Come on, I believe, but I don't want that life change stuff. Listen, before the fire fell, the people had to fix the falter, because the flame won't fall where people falter. I need you to get that today. The flame won't fall where we falter, but it took a decisive man. In a decisive moment, Elijah confronted the falter, and it made room for the flame of God. Listen, when we falter, the flame won't fall, but the flame flame falls where his people get decisive. The flame falls where people get determined. Like J-Dub said, the flame falls where people hold the line. Come on, somebody. Do I have anybody in here that's determined to see revival? Do I have somebody in here that's determined and decisive that God is my God and only him alone? Come on, we need the flame of God today. Come on, no more church as usual. No more boredom during worship. Come on, somebody. No more boredom during church. Come on, just coming apathetic, checking off the box. We need the flame of God in the church today. Come on, the flame won't fall where his people falter. And here's what you need to know. If the flame of God is going to fall today, then we must get decisive. They didn't outright reject God, but they also brought Baal in. It's kind of like this concept that you see happening all over America today, this idea of an open marriage. Come on, I want this person, but I want these people too. Come on, I like the idea of marriage, but don't close it off. Listen, the people of God, they didn't want an open marriage. They wanted open worship. Wow. Come on, somebody. They wanted open worship, and I want to let you know that God doesn't roll that way. Come on, he alone is God. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:24 that the Lord is a consuming fire, a jealous God, there is no such thing as open worship in the kingdom of God. Now, let me make this very clear. He is not jealous of you, but he is very jealous for you. Come on, I want to say it again. He is not jealous of you, but he is jealous for you. He will not share his glory. He will not share his worship. Listen, only God alone is worthy of worship. And until we get decisive and fix the falter, the flame will not fall. But where his people, come on, begin to worship with humility. Come on, begin to worship with joy. There we find the flame of God. Is anybody ready for revival? Let me say it another way. Can I say it like this? Is that we can't hold our sin and expect revival. Come on, we can't hold on to our sin and expect revival. If we're going to see Jesus, it's going to start with repentance. You see, what you got to understand is repentance is the necessary ingredient for the flame of God. Every single movement that has ever started in the history of the church has started right with repentance. Every single one of them. Come on, when John the Baptist stepped on the scene, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus stepped up on the scene, he started with, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached, they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Every move of God starts when the people move back to holiness. Acts 3:19-20 says it like this: "Repent therefore and be converted." Come on, not just believe, not just be baptized, but repent. Come on, not just come to church. Come on, I love grow classes, but we must repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Watch, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Repentance is the prerequisite for the refreshing. That word refreshing is this word right here, revival. Come on, you talk about repentance is the prerequisite. Sometimes we're off praying. We're saying, "God, send something. God, do something." And we're working really hard. And the first thing we must do is we must come back to holiness. We must come back to a sinless life. We must come back striving for the perfection of God, because repentance is the refreshing. It actually means a recovery of breath. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? Come on, in a real way, sin is knocking the spiritual breath out of us. I remember one time we were cliff diving. Anybody ever been cliff diving? Yeah. He said, "No." Come on. Go Texas. Let's go. All right. We're about to start a fight over here, aren't we? Amen. All right. But we were cliff diving, and they had two cliffs. They had a 40-footer and an 8-footer. And so we went on the 40-footer, and I got real comfortable. I'm not just talking about diving, you know, woo, jumping. I was diving, like, head first. I got like, real comfortable with the 40-footer. And then there was, like, you know, you can't stop. I'm like 19 years old at this point. I can't just stop at the 40-footer, Pastor Mark. Like, so I went up to the 80-footer. And have you ever stood off 80-foot and looked down? That's high. Like, looking up, it's like, "Oh, that don't seem that high," but get up and look down, okay? It's high. And so I remember I finally got the nerve, And I took off, and the way I dive, when I dive off something, I don't just stay here and just kind of fall. I like jump and go, and J-Dub, this is a true story. I hit it perfect. It was beautiful. I came, whoo, and I was like, look. And I said, did you all see that? And none of my friends were looking. Not a single one. And I was like, what in the world? They're like, do it again. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it again. So I went back up, crawled out of the water, swam, went all the way up to the top, 80 feet. And, you know, and this time I just kind of took it for granted. You know what I'm saying? I just was like, I did this before, I can do it again. And so I didn't really think about it. I was like, nobody's down there, great. And I was like, everybody's watching this time. And this time it wasn't just my crew. This time it was the whole place, you know, like several hundred. And it's 80 feet. And so I took off, woo, right? But this time, I didn't hit it just right. And when you dive off 80 feet, you kind of need to hit it right. I don't know if you know that or not. But what happened was is I didn't come in straight down. I kind of came in a little bit at an angle. But my hands were straight down, so I broke a little bit with my hands, but then I busted the rest of that with my head. Wham! And when it did, it's kind of like, have you ever, any football players in here, you ever gotten on it, you hit somebody, but you got your head down a little bit? Yeah, that's what that was equal like, except for probably like times three, you know? And I remember coming up, and all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. And true story, when I got out of the water a few hours later, I was black and blue from here all the way down my shoulders on both sides. My back hurt. I couldn't hardly walk. But as I'm in the water, I remember just thinking, just keep swimming. Just swim, Cody. Your breath will come back. You see, sometimes we get the breath knocked out of us in life. But I want to let you know it can always come back. Come on, it can always come back. See, sometimes sin knocks the breath out of us. But repentance brings it back. Come on, it's through repentance that we get our breath back. I know we made a mistake last night. I don't know what you did last night, but I want to let you know that repentance can get your breath back. You might have walked in here today, barely walking in, said, I don't know if I deserve here. I'm ashamed for what I did last night. I want to let you know that by the grace of God, through repentance at the altar, you can get your breath back today. You don't have to walk out of here the same. You don't have to walk out of here like you did. You can leave your shame at the altar because repentance will get your breath back. Now, repentance isn't just some like make me feel good, let me make a confessional. It starts with that, but it also requires us to make some real life change. Listen, what I need you to know is this, is repentance will get your breath back, but holiness will keep it burning. I need you to understand that. Listen, like a fire, listen, you can have the wood, but if you don't have the oxygen, it doesn't matter how much heat you put to it, it is not going to catch fire. There will be no flame. And I want you to know that repentance will cause it to burn, but holiness is how you keep it burning. And I want to let you know something. Come on, yeah, give God some praise. God, listen, I need you to write this down because this is a big deal. God wants repentance from us. Because revival is what he wants for us. You see, I've heard too many people say like this. I've heard too many people say, well, God's just trying to control me. God's just controlling. He's trying to kill my joy. Listen, I want to let you know that God is not a cosmic killjoy. He is joy. He's not trying to control. He's trying to guide you into life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. As long as you hang on to your sin, listen, you are settling for something less. But God is joy. God is life. And that's what he's trying to lead you to. Repentance is his father saying, come home. I've got something better for you. We had this young couple that was, they came to us, man. We just have people far from God. Like, I'll be honest with you, I probably get cussed at church every single Sunday, and I love every second of it, be honest with you. Like, far people just don't know, you know? Like, some of them do, but some of them don't. They're learning. But we had this couple that came to us, and they were living together, and we've been ministering to them, and you know, and we know that God says, let the marriage be honored and the marriage bed be undefiled, is what the Bible says. And so we're leading them into this, and they've been growing in Jesus. It's been amazing. And then we had a baptism and they wanted to get baptized. Well, I was like, yes, this is amazing. Come on. But we need to have some hard conversations. Because I won't baptize somebody that's unrepentant. Not that you have to be perfect, but I want to see some level of repentance in somewhere. And if we're living in open sin, rejecting God, then I can't baptize you. Amen? Amen. So I had a hard conversation with him. And they got off the fact that I had two really hard ones. Michelle had a hard conversation with a young lady as well. And we call them hard conversations. This is hard discipleship moments. Amen. Come on. Pastoral moments. This is the ones that, come on. And so we had this moment with him. And they got off the phone. And long story short, I'm going to tell you the end. Then I'm going to tell you something. They fully surrendered to God. And it was so beautiful. We baptized them. And it was just a beautiful moment. But when we got off the phone with them, the first thing they did, they looked at each other and they said, Cody's just trying to control us. And they kept talking, so they started kind of like offended for a second. Then they stopped, then they kept talking, and this is a true story, J-Dub. They kept talking and they said, wait, hold on a second. What does Cody have to gain by calling us on sin? If anything, this is what they said. They came to us and said this. They said, as they talked, they realized Cody has nothing to gain. In fact, he has everything to lose. I could lose this couple. They could get mad and leave the church. They could take a whole bunch of friends with them because they're influential. Like if anything, we had a lot to lose. And can I tell you right now that God is not a controlling God. He's not just trying to control for the sake of control. What he wants is repentance is for you because, or from you, because revival is what he wants for you. Listen, come on. Don't get mad when God convicts you of sin and ask for some life change. It's for your good, not God. What does God have to gain when you repent? It's not for him. He's already perfect and holy. He doesn't get another level of holiness out of it. You do. It's for you. Come on, we are, as believers, listen, we got to understand that is that God wants this because holiness is how we are to operate. We had a young couple, man. Another couple that got baptized at the same time. In fact, I want to show you a picture of them. This is Nick and Kaylee, and they had bought a house together, and they've been dating for like 7 years. You know, some of y'all just need to get married already. Hey, man. That's a pastoral moment. That's for free. Come on, you can up the offering today, Pastor. I'm just playing. So Nick and Kay, this is another wonderful couple. They bought a house together. And when I had lunch with him, he was like, oh, yeah, we're moving in together. I said, here's another hard conversation, right? And Michelle talked to Kaylee. I talked to Nick. And we had a just kind of hard conversation. They wanted to get baptized. And we're like, well, we can't baptize you if your plan is to move in together. That's not God's plan for your life. And long story short, this is them. So They are planning to get married in July 11th of 2026. But you know what they said? They said this. They said, we can't wait that long to be right with God. So we met up at the park with their parents. Come on, and we got them married before God. Come on, and now they're living right. Listen, this is what they said. We must honor God and put him first. Come on, somebody. This is what I'm talking about. When we repent and put motion to it, they didn't just go, God, forgive us for having sex. No. They said, you know what? We're going to go and do this thing all the way in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Come on, fix the falter is point one. Come on, isn't that good? Praise God. Let's put God first. Fix the falter. Number two. This is, worship team can come. I'm landing the plane here. Amen. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
First one is we must fix the falter, and the second point is we must repair the altars. We must repair the altars. Listen, I want to remind you, we're coming to the altar today. We're coming to the altar to meet with God. This might be new for you. Maybe you're not used to coming to the altars, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's something powerful about when we come to the altar. So Elijah confronts them and he says, fix the falter, and then the next thing he does is he says, let's repair the altars. Come on, let's repair the altars. And I need you to understand is the reason he had to repair the altars because the flame falls at the altar. The flame falls at the altar. The fire of God didn't fall someplace randomly. Come on, it fell where they repaired the altar. And I got news for you today. I believe the flame of God is coming to Pathway. I believe the fire of God is falling in Longview. But it's going to be where he finds people, at the altars. Come on, somebody. We must repair the altars. God, it reminds me, anybody from old church, come on, where we used to have altars all the time. Come on, I remember Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And most of the time on Sunday nights, I don't know if it was because the Holy Ghost or the pastor was tired of preaching, but we would just come to the altars. And that's where I remember meeting God. Almost every significant thing God has done in my life has happened in a moment of altars. I don't know why. Listen, could God meet you in your seat? Yes, but for some reason, he wants us at an altar. He wants us at an altar. Because I still believe the altar is where lives are altered, and I believe that God is calling us back to the altars. You see, the altar it's a place of worship. It's a place where the people of God and the God of the people meet. It's where they physically worship God, and God would manifest himself and show up. There's something special about the altar, but it's also a place where they would bring an animal and they would offer it to God. And here's what I need to show you. Not only is it a place of worship, but it's a place where people or where things come to die. One of the greatest problems with our American Christianity is that we want the flame without the death. Come on, we want an altar without a sacrifice. Come on, we want God, but not repentance. We want the plan of God, but not the holiness of God. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Listen, this is what is the problem with the most of our American Christianity is we want the table of God, but we want the table of the world. Come on, we want to drink from God's word, but we also want to drink from Netflix. Listen, the altar is going to cost you something. It costs you to honor God, and it costs you to worship God. Listen, God's plan for your life will cost you. It is free, but do not mistake it for cheap. Do not cheapen your worship. Do not cheapen the call of God. Make no mistake that while it is given, it is not cheap. Salvation may be free, but walking in his calling will cost you everything. See, at some point, we're going to have to fix the altar, and we're going to have to repair the altars. Because, listen, you can make it to heaven, but I don't know about y'all, but I'm not about punching my ticket to heaven and living as close to the flames of hell as possible. You see, so much of our Christianity is just like, how bad can I live and still be in? How close to the fires of hell we live in the smoke of hell while we're claiming to be Christians? Listen, I want to encourage you today that life is so much better the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to God, the more you infiltrate the word in your life, the better it gets. Listen, the fire falls at the altar. The fire of God falls at the altar. I remember when they started... The first time I saw the sign at a gas station and it said, pure gas. You remember seeing those? Pure gasoline. Listen, I don't know Longview. I need some pure gasoline in my Suburban somewhere. I can't find it. If you know where pure gasoline is, come let me know, okay? I have a 2000 Suburban and does not like ethanol very much. But I remember the first time. It's crazy, Pastor Marcus. Crazy. I remember the first time I saw it. I saw pure gasoline. And my first thought as a preacher, I was like, you would never have to put that sign up if you hadn't diluted it in the first place. You wouldn't have to try to sell me pure gasoline if you stopped putting ethanol in the first place. Listen, can I tell you right now, so much of our Christian world today, listen, it's got ethanol in it. And when we find pure, we don't even know what to do with it. Come on, can I tell you something? That your life, just like my Suburban, it's not designed to run on sin. It's not designed to run on selfishness. Your life is designed to run on faith. It's designed to run on worship. And it's designed to run on holiness. And that's why we must restore the altars. Come on, we need to rebuild the altar of worship. Not the self-worship stuff we sing about. Not the type of worship that puts me in the center or accepts my sin and leaves me as I am. The type of worship that costs me something. Come on, somebody. The type of worship that changes my affections. The type of worship that isn't dignified or self-conscious. The type of worship, come on, we need to rebuild the altar of worship that causes me to change. Come on, that isn't about us, but it's about the glory of God. Come on, let's restore the type of worship that brings us all the way in to the holy place. Come on, somebody. You see, I believe the days of us walking in, being bored during worship must end. Because if we are, guys, we're not seeing the glory of God yet. Isaiah chapter 6 says that Isaiah looked and behold, he said, I saw the glory of God. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Behold, the train of his robe filled the temple. How did he respond? Did he respond by taking another sip of coffee? No, he said, oh my gosh, I know I'm the prophet of God, and I know I'm one of the only guys walking with God right now. I know this world is in a mess, but I'm walking with God. But he said, woe is me. I'm unclean. Listen, I'm unclean. Can I tell you right now, no, how pure you are when you come into contact with the purity and the holiness of God? This wasn't even God trying to point out his mistakes. This isn't a reflection on Isaiah's sin. This is a reflection on the beauty, grandeur, holiness, and purity of our God. Holy, holy, holy. In Revelation 4, the Bible says there's these creatures. There's these creatures, and they constantly circle God. And night and day and night, they never stop for eternity saying, holy, 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 holy. And some theologians suggest this. They suggest that they're circling God. And the reason they keep singing holy is because every time they circle, they see God from another angle. And every time they see God from another angle, they say, holy. Come on, and they circle around and they say, holy. Then they circle around and they say, holy. Holy, and every time they circle, they see a different side of God singing, holy, holy, holy. Come on, church, I wonder if you'd begin to say, holy, holy, holy. Come on, I believe the days of us worshiping with boredom must come to an end. Come on, these angels, these creatures who have seen God for a millennia, for eternity backwards, still circle the throne and they say, holy, holy, holy. Come on, they could say a whole lot of things, but I want you to know the one thing they keep repeating is, holy, you are other, you are different, you are holy. Listen, come on, church, we need to come back to this awe of God. Because the true presence of God, it'll leave you in awe. It'll leave you different. It will mark you. Come on, but it happens at the altar. You know, the old men of God back in the day, in the Bible, they whenever they came to the presence of God, they all looked at each other saying, I think we're about to die. There's something about God that should put us in awe. And if we're going to see the flame of God, then we must get into the presence of God. And to do that, we must repair the altar. It's time to rebuild the altars because the altar is where our lives are altered. If you want to stand on your feet, I told you we're going to end at the altar today. I believe God is doing something because we must fix the altar and we must repair the altars. Listen, the flame of God is coming to Pathway. I'm telling you right now, get ready, get ready, get ready. God is doing something. I talk to your pastor probably once or twice a month. And I'm telling you right now, your pastor and this team, they are contending for revival. They're not okay with just church as usual. They are contending to see God glorified in Longview. But we must repair the altars, fix the falter, guys. Let's get all the way in. Let's repair the altars. I don't know why God likes altars. I don't really know why. I'm not God, but he likes it. There's something about when we move to the altars. I remember when I was 19 years old, I definitely had a dip in my walk with God. Anybody ever had one of those moments where it's like I'm walking with God, but then I kind of let some sin into my life and I had a dip. But I didn't walk away from God, but I had a dip, definitely for sure. And I remember I was sitting right over here on the front row at church one day, Sunday morning, and one of our guys, you know, I hate to use the word Pentecostal in East Texas. Because of all the Pentecostals, this is the most Pentecostal. Amen. But it was a Spirit-filled church, and we had the gifts of the Spirit. It was in kind of the late 90s, early 2000s, and charismatic movement happening. And And one of these guys, man, this happened quite often. Anybody remember running in church? Come on, running. This guy, we used to be slain in the spirit and all sorts of things. This guy started running. Right in the middle of the pastor's message, he just jumped, took off running. And he came around once, came around twice, came around a third time, and all of a sudden our pastor stopped and he said, there's an anointing on him for breakthrough. And here I am sitting on the front row, and I just knew that I knew that there was something in this moment that was for me. So I jumped up and I took off running with him, and I'm a track star. I was like a state champ cross country, and I got some wheels. Not quite the same anymore. I just turned 40. Amen. Y'all know about that. But took off running, man, and I ran him down. I just ran with him. I got around the back, and I'm just running with him. We got around this corner. We circled this corner, and we got right here. And something I can tell you guys, literally right here in our home church, back in Liberal, Kansas, middle of nowhere, southwest Kansas, the presence of God hit me at the altar and wrecked me. And I began to weep in repentance before God. One of those moments that marked me forever. I don't know why I had to run a lap. And I don't know why, guys, if you try to make God logical, you're going to miss him. Could God meet you at your chair? Probably, but there's something about when we move. I don't know why. It's kind of like God is motion activated. I remember the first time I went to a bathroom and they had the motion activated faucets. I didn't know how that thing worked. I was looking for the handles, no handles. And I found out that you had to put some motion in front of it. And that's kind of like our faith. There's something about that faith that pleases God. It's the motion that causes the flow. It's the motion that causes God to move. And when we move towards the altar, there's something about it. Yes. And so here in just a second, I'm just going to just count down to three, because this is what we preachers do. And I want you to meet me at the altar. Maybe some of you need to come and repent. Maybe some of you need to come and get your life right. Maybe you come to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you just need to come and just pray and seek God. I remember there was a guy came to our church, and this beautiful family, that man, they were just part of our church. And he came to our altar one time and prayed with somebody. And after church, I caught him. I said, what were you praying for? He said, Cody, I'm good. I just hadn't had anybody pray for me in so long. I just wanted to pray. And sometimes we come to the altar just because it's an opportunity to seek God again. And I want us just to come, and I want us to believe God for the flame of God. Let's repair the altars. Let's fix the falter. And let's cry out for the flame of God. Because I'm telling you, in my spirit right now, I can feel it. I can feel it. It's coming for you, Pathway. Come on, it's coming for you. Get ready. Come on, get ready. Come on, somebody. Anybody by faith excited about that? Get ready. Come on, get ready. Get ready. God, I thank you. God, fire fall. God, in this church, in this place, in this city, God, as we fix the falter today, we're deciding. We're crossing the line, and we're getting off the fence, and we're coming. God, church as usual, God, no more. God, we're repairing the altars of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you were encouraged, built up, and strengthened by the Word of God today. I again want to encourage you, go ahead and click subscribe while you're here, and you'll be notified of content as soon as it drops, because we want to encourage you as much as you'll let us. And if you would, comment and share, because we want the people who need the message of Jesus to hear the message of Jesus. And if you're in Longview, Texas, or if you're ever visiting Longview, Texas, we'd love to host you at Pathway Church. So please come see us. Hey, I believe, again, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it is good. And we can't wait to see all that God does through your life.